Fuck you! Everyone, and welcome to another exciting, spooky Halloween October edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Jeez, rock the whole table.
All I did was move my foot. Well, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
This is Gus.
The tremor.
It wasn't you, it was the Tremors.
It was the Tremors, yes. Rocking the table.
Them Graboids, leave us alone.
No thanks.
We'll be quiet, we had
Freddie on the podcast last week, and this week, why can't we have a Tremor?
Hey, it's right here. Yeah. Say hi, Mr. Graboid.
That was exciting, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Well, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. We're a podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies.
Hey, are we the movies?
I think we are the movies.
We are the movies.
On this podcast, we take an older film, we watch it, we then review that film, talk it over, schmooze a little bit, discuss the aspects of the film that work, the aspects of the film that don't. Then we submit that movie to the Movie Factory. This is where we take the film and we kind of rework it for the modern day.
Yes.
We give it a new director, give it a new composer, give the main cast an overhaul with modern booking, and maybe tweak a little bit of a story here and there. Well, then maybe we'll get into a little fun and play a little game before the end. You never know.
Who knows?
Well, with that being said,
we don't know.
This is on the fucking fly.
Yes.
Here we are. With that being said, do you have anything to add before we get started? Or you want to get right into it, into the juicy bits?
I want to bite right into it so hard that it kind of feels good.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Then just take a bite and see what happens.
Take a bite.
See,
all right.
See what you like.
Well, this week we watched a film that when a spooky movie. We tried to watch Halloween movies here for October and keep it kind of, would you say, horror genre.
Yes.
A classic Halloween film. So the first one we watched was Exorcist. Then we watched Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Dream Warriors, bitch.
So we figured we'd keep it with the Halloween classics.
Yes.
The spookiest of the spooky. Probably the prime time. Creme de la creme of subterrestrial. I think subterrestrial is proper. Horror films, 1990s, Tremors.
You know, when I hear the term spooky, I think ghosts
or
hauntings.
You don't think of giant worms with more worms coming out of that worm's mouth?
No, I think hentai when I think of that's what I think of.
You know,
I'm something of a scientist myself. But so you're like, every scare of this movie,
tentacle porn.
You're like, well, no, every scare that came about, you're like, see, spooky.
Yeah. It's terrifying. See, this is scary. I'll tell you, there were a couple things. Because growing up, again, this movie would come on TV every now and again, 1990s Tremors, and I remember, you haven't seen this movie in over a decade. I just watched it probably 8 or 9 months ago. It was on Amazon Prime, so I gave it a watch, just for old time's sake. And I remember scenes in this, and we'll talk about them a little more in detail as we go on, but I remember scenes, when I was rewatching it for the first time in a long time, made me uneasy because I remembered them, scaring me as a kid. No, on secondary watch and this third watch in my life, I would say they're not near as spooky.
I'll tell you what, when I was younger, and I remember seeing this movie for the first time, and the kill the Graboid has on the old man in the farm, he's a sheep farmer.
One of the first ones,
it is like the first visual one you see. He sucks him down. And then our main characters, Val and Earl, they show up to see what's going on, and they lift the hat. There's a little hat on the ground. They lift the hat up, and there's that that dead head. I'm like, hey! That scared me so bad. Like, when I was younger, I was like, these are scary.
Even tonight we were watching it, and the hat, and he pulled the hat back. You knew it was coming. You're like, ah!
I was like, yay! I don't like that. Still gets me every time.
Well, let's get into the juicy behind-the-scenes details.
I found the ass end!
So, this film was directed by Mr. Ron Underwood.
First time director
yes. For this film. He has since directed a handful of things. The bigger things that I found, I don't know if you might, these might not even be the biggest things, but I saw City Slickers,
yeah,
Billy Crystal
film. Yeah, I was
going
to say, that was his next movie. And
that was similar.
I know. No, won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. City Slickers.
Yeah. Not Tremors?
Tremors should have won
Best Picture.
Yeah, it should have won Best actor in a leading role for two actors.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon and
Fred Ward.
Yes.
They should have won. And for best performance of all time, it should have went to who played Burt Gummer?
Burt Gummer.
Yeah.
Burt played himself.
Burt is Burt.
Yeah. If you can't tell by now, we are being wholly sarcastic.
what is holy sarcastic?
I meant to say holy sarcastic, but sarcastic came out.
Michael Gross
as Burt Gummer.
Yeah, that's it.
He's a man. We'll get into him.
He is
detail.
Man.
But Ron Underwood, yeah, he directed City Slickers, which is a Billy Crystal film, and
Billy Crystal epic.
Yeah,
hey,
and
Jack Palance.
Yeah, that's. I was trying to think of the other. And then Mighty Joe Young was the only other film I could think of.
Bill Paxton, epic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that the film that's more known for the Phantom Menace trailer?
I don't know.
It had a really big. I think it is. It might have been.
No, wasn't that Waterboy?
No. Okay. Nah, I think it was Mighty Joe Young. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I thought I read a fact somewhere once that Waterboy made so much money because it had a preview of Phantom Menace before it.
Now, I know it wasn't Waterboy.
But
I've seen
whatever you're
before.
Thinking is something
yeah.
similar to
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like people.
I think it might have been that.
Oh, wait, no, I think you're right. It was like something like they'd pay to see the movie, they'd see the trailer, and then they'd
yeah.
leave.
Yeah. Ah, the days before the internet.
Yes.
But, so, the budget for this film, 1990s film, I would say fairly decent budget, was a Universal film, was $11 million
okay.
was the estimated budget.
You know, for this being a first-time director, and the guys who are producing it, there, I believe they're writers, too. They wrote Short Circuit before this, and so that was a big popular film, so they probably had a lot of faith in these guys, and these guys, they also worked with Ron Underwood before. They did, like, medical videos, and the one he did work, like, shooting videos for the Navy, stuff like that. So they all kind of got together and really made this idea come to life, because after Short Circuit was a big hit, this producer was like, dust off your old ideas, and let's see what you got. And he had this idea for a land shark movie.
Yeah, basically Jaws Underground. Yeah, so it had an $11 million budget, which is pretty decent. But if it were to come out today and do what it did its opening weekend, it probably wouldn't have made its money back.
Okay.
Opening weekend, it made $3,731,520.
That's a smash hit.
Yeah, it barely even made a quarter.
Half.
So yeah, it did not make good money then. It ended its box office run with $16 million. I'll round up to 17.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, but its opening weekend, it only opened at about $4 million.
Interesting.
So. It did end up making enough money to warrant a sequel, I suppose.
I mean, a sequel
and then
that came out 6 years later.
But then also spawn a series that they're still making movies.
Yeah, they just came up with a new one this year.
Yeah.
2018.
So, all mostly straight to DVD. It was the second one, or was straight to video?
Yeah, the second one was straight to video.
Okay. So, yeah, but I mean, they've always been pretty true to the original story, or the original ideas and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that spawned a second, a third, and a fourth one, which is a prequel, and a TV series. And a recently they did a fifth and a sixth Tremors. Always changing.
Hey. You gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. Well, let's get into the movie here. The first thing that I notice, and I always think of, is like, if you tell someone, "Hey, have you ever seen Tremors?" I'll say,
"It's
no."
Pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's a pretty spooky film. But then you also say it's a Kevin Bacon film. And that's really the big thing, because he was trying to get away from his pretty boy, Footloose persona at this time. I would say.
Okay.
And it was this was like one of his first. Not breakout roles for
obviously
any of
no.
Yeah, but definitely one of his first, like, more serious roles. And I thought, I noticed right off the bat with Kevin Bacon and Earl, he's played by Fred Ward.
Fred Ward, yeah.
They're basically handymen.
Hey, they can do anything.
And they can do literally anything. You ask them to, like, if you had a time machine and a movie machine at the same time, you'd go in the movie and pluck these guys. And you grabbed Earl and Val out of Tremors, and you were like, you plopped them in a like a nuclear missile crisis. They would be able to fix it.
They'd figure it out.
Yeah, they would figure it out.
You could hand these guys a Band-Aid and a paperclip and say, "Make me a steak dinner." You would have got steak dinner.
Yeah, and they wouldn't even have like killed a cow or anything. They would have made it out of that
out
paper
of the Band-Aid
clip.
And paperclip.
Yeah, that steak is being fucking made.
I changed it. Did I say rubber band? Now it's Band-Aid.
It was a paperclip. No, it was a paperclip and Band-Aid.
Yeah. That jackrabbit. SpongeBob reference.
But they do a really good job. They have good chemistry throughout the film.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
And you were chuckling right off the bat. and I thought that the writing that they had for those characters in particular, because there were some writing for characters that were suspect. Maybe that was due to poor acting, but for, Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon, they pulled off their characters and their lines and held true to the writing very, very well, I thought. Yeah, and that was like the first thing I noticed.
Some of the best, dialogue in cinema.
Fuck you!
There it is. That's the best line in cinema.
That is up there with Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Yeah.
And some of the worst lines in cinema.
Way to go, dude!
Yeah, there you have it.
There is a kid. I have to just bypass everything to get to this point. There is a kid in this film. He's basically the point of his character is the boy who cried wolf. Throughout the entire film, he's just crying tremor, basically. He's fucking around, saying like, "Oh, they have me," and then they don't. And I don't know. He's just an asshole throughout the entire film. He is such a bad actor that I contemplated shutting off the film the last time I watched it because I was so sick of him. He's also in an episode. He's in a movie that Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix did. I think it is Wizards of the Lost Kingdom 2. Yeah, because they do 1 and 2
in
the first season.
They didn't even make the first one.
No, they did. That's just the second one. Make no reference to the first one. But he was so bad in that. Like, so bad to the standards of Mystery Science Theater 3000 that I had to stop watching that episode because he was so bad. So he was in this film. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Terrible young actor, but there was a young
actress. I also have a thing against young actors.
What about the little young actress who's in this film?
She gets a pass because the young girl who plays his sister in the film, she is the young girl from Jurassic Park. So we can't hate on her.
Yeah. All she's doing is pogoing around, and she's the best actress in this movie.
But I did think, just getting back to what we were talking about, the writing overall, very, very solid throughout in terms of definitely character development. You get a feel for all the characters in this film.
Yes.
You got Val and Earl, they're your handymen. All they want to do is move on to better and greater things. They're sick of picking up trash. They're sick of cleaning up people's shit and doing just grunt work. And then you have your geologist, grad student, who's the love interest of the film, and your main female protagonist. They set her up kind of as a nerd, kind of as an outcast, different but really smart.
Yeah, but she's badass.
Yeah, and she's badass.
She can do it all too, just like
them. She can
like
do
them.
It all too, yeah, yeah. Then we got like Bert, who is just a terrifying individual.
I want you to take a second. If you have one next to you, people, if there's an American flag close by, look at it, touch it if you can. That's Bert.
That's Bert. He is
the most American thing.
He
I've
is the
heard.
Most American man's man you'll ever see in your life. And that's why he's been, what, the main character for all five or six films? I think one of the films was a prequel.
He was the star of it.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's a prequel.
Yeah. Let me explain.
Okay. Did he have a time machine and a movie machine?
I don't have to explain it anymore.
All right. Set it up. He built this time machine.
First one, the small town's going up against some graboids.
Yeah.
Second one, you find out the graboids can metamorphosize. And
they evolve.
Yeah, they become
like
shriekers. Yes, they become shriekers, where one opens up and these three little foot creatures run around. Third one, you got...
And then it's no longer Tremors.
Yeah, third one, you got Ass Blasters.
Yeah. And that's what they call them. Yeah, they do call these monsters Ass Blasters.
These motherfuckers fart and take off with their explosive flatulence.
Hey.
Well, Bert, or Michael Gross...
This is Sharknado before Sharknado was a thing.
Michael Gross is the star of all these. The fourth one is a prequel, Wild West. Hmm. Okay? So it's Bert's ancestor.
And he plays it?
And he plays it.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, it's like old cowboys.
How
was
that not good?
Cowboys and graboids. And then there's a TV series.
And it's called Red Dead Redemption 4. So intense it jumps over 3. And 2 hasn't even come out yet. It's coming out soon, but still.
Bert
I digress.
And 5 and 6, A Cold Day in Hell.
He's an American.
And the fifth one, they're going up against graboids in Africa. African graboids. They're bigger.
Whoa. Bigger?
I haven't seen the sixth one yet, but I believe they're Antarctic graboids.
They're just running out of ideas, or they're getting more ideas. I don't know.
And I think they're working on a new series too.
They're like, let's make them in volcanoes. And let's make Sharknado versus Tremornado.
Tremornado.
Tremornado. These giant fucking worms with more worms coming out of them.
Hey, I'm hard.
Harder than a graboid.
Yeah, you're talking Bert. You're talking
Tremornados.
Tremornados. Stiff.
So, another thing that I noticed I wanted to kind of bring up is the creature design for the graboid.
Oh yeah,
it's really good, I would say that most of the time you look at it and you never really think that it looks cheesy. It's very original. It's design.
Yeah.
I never look at it and say, like, oh, that looks really fake. Like, really fake.
No.
It probably looks better than what it would look like today.
Yeah, well, because today it is CGI, these graboids. But, yeah, I truly appreciated the prosthetic nature of all of it and it being, like, a real, tangible thing. I thought all the effects were pretty good. I like that they use a lot of low-budget tricks to do a lot of these effects. Like, there's an effect of you can kind of see the graboid moving through the dirt, and you just see its hump, like, rolling across the sand and stuff at the desert.
He's making all these movements as he...
With my hands.
Yeah, he's making the hump in the dirt, just so you know, at home, because he's doing it.
The way they accomplished that simple effect is they got a, like, boat buoy, and they buried it under some dirt, and they pulled it with a truck. And
it looks good. Mm-hmm. That looks good. A thing that I appreciated is, like, because they could easily, like, these, so the graboid, the main creature, it's like a giant worm. It's got, I would say, almost like claw, grappling hook-like mouth.
It has, like, a beak mandible.
Yeah.
Like a mandible beak.
When it opens its mouth, no eyes, when it opens its mouth, it releases, was it four, five?
Three.
Was it three?
That's three.
Oh, shit. I can count, I swear. each one played by Kevin Spacey. Yeah. And they come out.
He'll grab you. Watch out now. Don't be afraid. Come on.
But these three worms
Hello,
with more
Kevin.
Mouths. They're basically... this didn't come out before Alien and Aliens. But it's kind of like that, like where
it did come out after Alien.
Yeah, no. I said before. Didn't come out before.
You said it didn't come out.
I thought you said your name was Kurt.
I'm aware.
All right. But it's kind of like an homage to that, I guess, because it's like a monster has a big mouth and it's got little mouths inside of it.
It's like a penis.
Yeah, exactly. It's a vagina with a penis coming out of it. Three. Yes.
Space.
But I digress. It is has these three like worm creatures coming out of it, biting at them. They grab people, pull them into the mouth. But they could have easily just, if those little worm things are hitting the trucks and hitting cars and grabbing things and touching rocks, they could have easily done nothing more. They touched it and that's it. But if you notice, like, every time those little mouth fuckers grab things or touch things, it's slimy. Like, they have the saliva. Mm-hmm. They have, like, the weird gooey stuff. Goodbye, gooey sus. Yeah, I noticed that. Like, I appreciated the little shit that they did just to kind of put it through.
Yeah. No, the creature effects were pretty great, if you ask me. I liked all the practical effects they did. I mean, this whole movie, you can tell had a low-budget feel, but they, like, made the best out of it.
They made the best using, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can feel like they used every little penny. And when they were scouting for this area to film at, they wanted an open area, the desert. They were looking for a place that had all the things they would need. Rock formations, mountains, deserts, but also close enough to, like, real civilization, like hotels and stuff for the actors. They found this little town, and their production designer took 2 months, and he built this entire town of perfection. They even paved a road and everything. They built one of the main places that they spend most of the time at is this convenience store.
Mm.
And they designed it in a way that you could go inside, but there was a rooftop scene near the finale that would collapse and, like, break in.
To the middle.
He designed it so it would break in like that, but then it could just reset.
Oh, shit. So they did, yeah. And what's interesting about this film, too, when you really look at it as a whole, the entire movie pretty much takes place outside. There's two interior scenes throughout the entire movie, and that's inside Bert's basement and inside the convenience store.
I guess so.
Those are the only two interior, which is odd. You don't see that in a movie very often, unless maybe it's like a Into the Wild or
Into the Wild.
That's the only, I was trying to think of like a Woodsman, The Gray. There's not many interior scenes in Liam Neeson's The Gray. There is.
What about Jaws? I guess they're in the boat. And there's
He's in the house a couple times. They have dinner. There's a great scene in Jaws. That's one of the best scenes is when they're eating dinner and then Mr. Hooper comes over and he just eats his fucking dinner. He's like, "You gonna eat that?" He just takes it.
That's the biggest
problem I have with that film.
Gives him a whole bottle of wine and he just pours a whole goddamn.
You might want to let that air.
What about the best scene in Tremors?
It's the most memorable scene to me in this movie is the first time really they come face to face with the Tremor, Earl and Val.
I keep saying Tremor, they're Graboids.
But they come face to face with a Graboid. They're riding horses because their car.
Because they're men.
Cowboys. The road's been kind of blocked off because of the Graboid. It kind of made it like a landslide. And so they're riding horses because they know how to ride horses. Because
they can do everything.
Yeah, because they can do everything.
They're like, who's the best on a horse? And then Earl and Val just turn around like, fuck, we're the best at everything. So yeah. I guess it's us.
Like, who's the best at killing Graboids? Us.
Bert. It's like, sit down, boys.
But they're riding horses, and they start to get the horses get spooked, and you can see the ground start to shake, and they get knocked off their horse. The horse is getting eaten by the Graboid. They try to shoot it, but it's not working, so they start running. And they're kind of running to, it's a, uh, I would say the only word I can think to describe it is an aqueduct, but I don't think that's what it is.
It's probably just some like
looked like a flood,
like a water reservoir.
Yeah, maybe, but it was like a cement like sewage system almost, and
it was cement.
There's a really good that's a really good shot because they're running to this like kind of cement reservoir kind of deal, and they're gonna try and jump across it, and the graboid's gaining on them, and they're running right next to a barbed wire fence. And as they're running, like it shows them running, and then the barbed wire fence is kind of getting like sucked down or knocked over.
Like each wooden post, like is blop, blop, plop. So you know, like how close
it is. Yeah. And it kind of builds that tension. And they jump, and they don't make it across the reservoir, but as they're sliding down the cement wall, you hear the big thud, and they turn around, and the concrete has
knocked himself out cold.
Yeah. Out cold my ass. He's dead. but they do kill the graboid. They get it, basically trick it, gets overexcited, and it rams itself into the concrete wall and kills itself. But then Kevin Bacon proclaims, and just I think it's the most quotable line in the movie. I say it all the time. You could say it without this movie, but the way he says it, he just looks at it and yells like, "Ah, fuck you!" It's so good. Like.
That is probably the best part of the whole movie.
I think it is. Like it's perfect. Maybe not the best part because I mean, Bert when he kills the graboid, that's pretty good.
For me, it's in between that Kevin Bacon screaming "fuck you" and Bert and his wife Reba McEntire.
Yeah,
I just like to pretend it's actually Reba McEntire
because it is.
They have a whole arsenal in their fucking basement and they unload everything on this graboid, including an elephant rifle.
But that's like it's a great shot because they're like they only throughout the entire basement scenes, like as they're in their basement and you hear the tremor coming or the graboid coming, and they only have two rifles, and then like it busts through the wall and they shoot all their ammo out at it, and then it finally the camera pans over and there's just a wall of guns
and they use all of them.
Yeah.
Damn. And he's just going down the line. This, and then finally, it's a fucking elephant.
I like how you say you like to pretend it's Reba. It was Reba. It is Reba.
What do you mean?
Like that is Reba McEntire,
the actress. Yes. I'm saying.
Oh, that's her actual name. It was her.
I know it was her. I'm saying it was actually her.
That was the woman from Little Rascals.
Yeah, that is the Colonel. Yeah. Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel.
Barbecue.
Why isn't Burt Gummer? The Colonel.
Why isn't Burt Gummer president?
Fuck. Whoa. Next movie. The next Tremor. Tremor's 10 because it skips all the others. Burt Gummer will have become president of the United States, and he will have a secret plan where he is capturing Tremors and militarizing them and releasing graboids on other countries.
That's
with laser beams on their heads.
And
they blow up.
They travel by a tornado.
Land, sea, and air.
Wow.
They travel through the clouds. And yes.
That's my America.
Not my Tremors movie. No, that's that. Those are great scenes.
That was Reba. I'm like, I'm aware.
But I was confused. I mean, yeah.
So I made the joke. Like, I like to pretend she's like, why did I just?
Well, you're like Reba McEntire. I like to pretend she's Reba. I'm like, well, she was. I don't know.
How? How?
All right, let's get into the music of the film. Yes. The music of this movie, so all over the place. Very end of the movie, I'm like, what's up with this E.T. theme playing? Like, it sounded just like that. It's just, yeah, it's very all over the place throughout.
But in the beginning, it's like,
yeah, it's like very banjo, Western-esque. Yeah. But then there's the horror movie ones. It's like
that's all it needs.
I guess it's just it's a horror comedy.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of what you get from it in terms of the music. Like you get the comedic aspects and you also get the comedy. But I'd almost rather. Would you say it's more of a horror? If you were looking at like like 50-50. I don't think it's 50-50. I would say it's like 75-25.
If I was in a video rental store, if you had me walk into a Blockbuster.
Fuck. There's only one left.
And you had me be like, go find Tremors. I would go to the horror section.
Where was it? At Video Warehouse. That was our video rental store.
Actually,
growing up.
I don't remember ever seeing it there. We had another video rental store. It was a
Country Video.
No. More local. Wilkinson's. Remember
Wilkinson's? I do remember Wilkinson's.
It was in the horror section at Wilkinson's.
Oh, well, there you go. See, it's in the Tremor. Hit the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I remember the three were there. We'd rent them from there.
Yeah. All right. So is that because I couldn't remember if I saw these on TV or if we rented them? Or
probably both.
Probably both. Both at the same time.
Maybe both.
We watched Tremors 1 and 2. We moved a TV into the room to watch both at the same time.
That's right.
I keep hitting things.
Why don't you keep rattling
this But yeah, I just. All right, so if we decide that, yeah, sure, it's a horror film, or maybe 75% horror, 25% comedy, I would almost rather the music tonally, if I'm making a horror comedy, I'd rather it tonally be a horror film-esque music and let the dialogue take care of the rest. Mm. When the music... Music's such a big part of the film for me, for most movies.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have that tone... Going for it.
It
doesn't do it for me. The tone, it's all over the place. The music, the tone, constantly.
You want something a little more consistent.
Yeah, because it throws you. Because, like, there's a scene where Earl, Val, and Rhonda, the graduate student, are stuck on rocks. And they've been stuck for about a day. And Rhonda, for whatever reason, they have conveniently placed long enough poles to pole vault laying right next to the rock, and she comes up with the idea to pole vault from rock to rock to prevent the graboids from getting her.
Boys good at pole vaulting? Like, fuck, we're good at everything.
Yeah, like, fuck, we can jump these. We're just waiting for you. But they pole vault, and it's very, like, upbeat,
that
like,
music, yeah.
Banjo-y.
And it had that weird train sound, I think. Like,
yeah. But what was weird is just, like, that, it was, I guess, upbeat. Like, oh, they figured a way to beat him. But at the same time, if I was making that film, I would want that scene to be more suspension building. Like, that you're seeing that tremor follow them. And as they're going, or maybe someone fucks up the pole vault once, or, like, almost falls. You know, you could do it like that. Like, it's all set up comedically. Like, the very first time Earl goes to do it, he gets halfway up and falls right back on his back. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Bacon spits in both hands and does it.
Of course, he's great.
Yeah, because Kevin Bacon's the best.
I know this movie was initially inspired with the thought of Jaws on land. So it might be a little too hokey what I'm about to say, but I think this movie could have benefited from, like, a graboid theme. Like, Jaws has the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So you knew it was kind of coming. Pardon me, I'm burping. I think the Tremor could have had something like that. Maybe the Jaws theme, but backwards.
That's the Godzilla theme. Mix both. Mix Godzilla with Jaws. And Psycho.
And that Beastie Boys song.
Yes. Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys. That. Just do Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys. And that being said, that's, again, like we talked about it last week. The music. When we don't notice the music, we don't think the music's that great, we don't really care for the composer in that instance. Like, we don't, like, I don't know, like Conan, like, I didn't know the composer of that film, but the music was so good, I felt compelled to look him up
right. And
look other movies he's done and other pieces he's done. It's different with this one. Like, it's like, okay. It was all over the place and different. It felt almost like you could have plopped someone in there and said, here's $1,000, go and get us, like, B-roll of music. Like, just free, royalty-free music. Like, just do that. Music. Yeah. Like, it felt like that. That's the type of music you got in this movie.
Well, you know, a little later on, you'll have your chance to
well,
put the music you'd want in here.
I will. Okay. It's going to be fucking great.
How about John Williams?
I thought about it. I was like, eh.
Well, there you have it.
But then we have, we do have, you were just talking about it, so we'll go right into that. You said it was kind of built as a Jaws on land. And there are a couple jabs, or not jabs, I would say, homages to Jaws. There was one scene I noticed where the Graboids kind of first come to town, and they're all kind of like trying to deal with where to go and where to hide. And they're running into the convenience store, and the Graboid's chasing after them, and it's like knocking up all the floorboards on the dock or on the deck.
I love that shot.
Like they're running into the store, and all the boards on the deck are getting knocked up. That's similar to the scene in Jaws where I guess they rip – he rips the dock away. He's like swimming, and you can see the fin or the ham coming back at him.
Swim, Charlie.
Yeah. So – I noticed that, or you could even say it's similar to Godzilla 2002.
2002?
Or not Godzilla 2002. Godzilla 99.
How about 98?
Did we review that movie? What year is it? Who are you? What have you done with my son?
Godzilla 99 is technically Godzilla 2000, and that's not what you're talking about. And Godzilla 2002 is Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, that one's great.
How about we just watch Godzilla, the animated series?
Whoa.
Why are we talking about Godzilla? but another...
let's talk about Halloween. Because when I think of Halloween...
Let's cast Jimmy Stewart in this film and Hulk Hogan.
Be like, listen, Reba.
No.
Get me the elephant rifle.
No, Jimmy Stewart in this movie would be the Tremor. He'd pop out and be like, I'm going to grab you.
I thought you said it was played by Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey is the tongues. Jimmy Stewart is the big Graboid, the worm itself.
Got you some brandy. Why don't you come on in my mouth?
Yeah, I'll eat you.
I'll eat you.
Come down here. I'll feed you my family. I'll let you touch my tongues. There was another Jaws reference I noticed, and it was the way the owner of the convenience store passed away or died.
Wang or Chang? Chang.
Chang, yes. He gets eaten. The Graboid comes through the floor of the convenience store and gets him. And the way it's kind of like pulling him down, it's very reminiscent to that of Quint's death, even to the point where when it was happening, I was like, oh no, Quint!
Not again.
Come back. Come back.
You know, not to touch on Jaws again, but...
touch on it. Yeah, it's better.
Quint in that movie is such a great character, and the acting is so amazing.
Would you say Burt Gummer is our Quint?
Quint is pretty despicable, right, though. Like, just he's kind of a madman. And he's very dangerous, and he's going to get everyone killed. Not that he's a bad guy, but...
Well, all he wants to do is swim with bow-legged women.
And so he when he dies, every time he dies, I'm so, like, sad. Like, I just don't feel good.
Because all he wanted to do was beat that shark, and he didn't get his chance. Beat him, yeah. He's kind of an anti-hero in that,
I guess. But you know, Bert's not going to get it, but Chang did.
Chang did. Well, Chang was kind of despicable throughout the film, capitalizing on things
that
like
fucking tongue.
Like, yeah, they Earl and Val, when they kind of first come to understand what's killing things, they're driving and they get kind of caught up on something, and it turns out that the Graboid had one of its tongues latched onto the back of their truck, and they pulled away from it and ripped the tongue off. And so he's like, I'll give you $15 for it. And they sell it to him, and then he's charging like $20 a picture with the thing.
With the tongue monster.
Yeah, within the town of Perfect that has a population of 14 people. Yes. He's kind of despicable. I'm trying to think of the characters that kind of go way old Yeller in this film.
The doctor and his wife.
The doctor and his wife, that's interesting. We'll get there. Let's do it chronologically, though. The first person you see dead in this picture is old man something, so-and-so. Old man Withers up there. That's not his real name. No. Old man Withers is from Scooby-Doo. But they find him on a electric tower, like a phone tower, and he's just sitting there, and they think he's all drunk and passed out up there. They go up and they find that he was dead. And it turns out that he actually died from dehydration, and he was sitting there for 3 to 4 days. So he was so terrified of the graboids, yes, they sat there.
And
then the next death is what you said, the old man in the farm. He gets sucked down into the ground, and when Earl and Val find him, there's just a hat in the ground, and they pick up the hat, and his face is there. Yes, and his mouth's agape. I look at you, I'm like, that's sex face.
That was.
But then the doctor and his wife, the doctor of the town and his wife, they're building a house. The generator gets sucked down in the ground. They're trying to like kind of inspect it. The wife just wants to go. The husband wants to inspect. The husband gets sucked down, and she's like trying to save him. That's probably one of the better, like, kind of spooky moments of the movie.
We watched it with my roommate tonight, and he laughed at this actress's reaction, but I didn't. I thought it was pretty real, because the husband gets sucked down, and he's gone, and she starts digging. Like, she's like, Jim!
Yeah.
That's pretty
real. Digging hard. She needed those sand scoopers you take to the you take to the beach. Yeah. You know, the ones that make it look like you have like claws. Yeah,
like turtle hands.
She needed those like dig out. She would have got down. She would have got them. She would have saved them.
She would have saved them.
Yeah. She would have had like a sand castle kit. She would have got them out.
It's all her fault.
Yeah. If they would have, what if they had a sand castle tools? Would they won? What if they built a sand castle? Like a big one.
They go to
cannons and everything. Big sandcastle.
They would have found its way through.
Fuck. You don't think if they were shooting like SpongeBob style, shooting like sand cannonballs at them?
I mean,
I think we went off course here.
They were shooting real fucking bullets. So it didn't really work. Now,
they killed the one.
Hey, you know, Bert said he had a cannon at one point.
Bert's house was the sandcastle.
He's like, got cannon fuse, and he's like, what's that for? He's like, for my cannon. Why the fuck didn't they shoot a cannon at this damn thing?
For real though, I mean, they're already deaf. We decided that.
Like, I know this motherfucker's got a tank. Like, where's that at?
But that was a good one. It was scary. That one was scary. And then she runs away. She ends up kind of uncovering the graboid tongue, and she runs back to her car. And there are all the tongues are coming up and kind of smearing their faces on the windows.
What I like, though, still at this point, those tongues, you think that is the creature.
Yeah.
Like,
well, because as far as they know and all that they've kind of hypothesized is that they're big snakes, basically. And then that they end up pulling the car under the ground with him. Like, they just suck the whole car under. And there's a good shot. It's like the night sky and a mountain, and you just see the headlights, and then one disappears, and then another one disappears.
You know, that was, like, kind of a happy accident, that shot. Like, because it does, like, show the car getting sucked down, and it cuts to, like a faraway shot, and you just see the headlights, like you just mentioned. I read that was, like, their last night of shooting, and for some reason, the car was supposed to completely sink. And the actress, she was supposed to climb out the window and stand on top of the car until it sank, and she got sucked in, too.
The rear window?
Yeah. And for some reason, the material that they were using to, like, make quicksand, basically, would get hard too fast, and the car just would never sink. And they're running out of daylight, so they just kind of had to improvise. And, like, we got to figure out just something else to do, so they ended up doing what they did, cutting and having, like, the headlight trick.
So I think that's better because sometimes, and this is harkening back to Jaws, less is more. And so you just get the idea. The last shot you really see is her getting sucked down, and then you hear her scream, and then you see the lights disappear. And you just are kind of left to your own devices to say, like, oh, she probably died. And she did.
She probably got it.
Got what?
It.
but... Yeah, so we had that one. Then the next one after that would go to the convenience store. Or no. It would go to the road crew.
Mario
and
Luigi.
Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
The road crew that they're doing road work, and the one stabs a jackhammer into the back of one on accident. Yeah, give him the jackhammer. And then he gets kind of sucked away, and then a landslide happens and kills the rest of them, or the other guy.
Would you like to know how they did that jackhammer effect?
like it got sucked in and then pulled away and like broke up. Yeah, sure. Because it was interesting because the way this happens is the jackhammer gets kind of sucked into the ground and then you're left to understand that the graboid starts like going away.
Because he stabs it into the ground. Yeah. And all its blood starts coming out.
Yeah, but then it's like as it's moving, it's like breaking up the road and the concrete
it's like
and shit.
Cutting through that asphalt like butter.
Yeah. And you love that sound.
I do. Now what they did is it's actually pretty simple. They had a track, like a little train track basically, and it was hooked up to the jackhammer. And they covered the track in, like, this really brittle, like, kind of rock material. And they just pulled the jackhammer on the track, and it made that effect where it would bust through the road and all the dirt would shoot up. But it was just getting pulled on track.
They came up with good, like, smart ideas to make these effects.
Just camera tricks. And, today, that would be all CGI.
Yeah, why not? It's probably, less time-consuming. Yeah. And
cost-effective.
Yeah. That was the next one. I think then would be the convenience store owner dying Way of Quint. Then there's one of the random guys in the town gets sucked through a tire. Yeah.
That's no good. You gotta get up higher.
Yeah, right through a tire. The last one would be the, they say something like, someone will come search for us when they see that the roads are out and the phone's out. And then it pans to where the roadblock is, and there's a car of a crew that was going to probably clear the road. And you just see blood in their helmets. So they're dead.
Ew.
Yeah, so. You gotta get out of here, man! There's a real psychopath killing people!
Whoa. Pardon my French.
Yeah.
What did he say at that one point? He's like, God damn it. Pardon my French. Shit.
Movie's great. The writing's good. All in all, I really liked. I think my favorite overall part of the movie is all the character development. And Bert's really good. He's fun. He's entertaining. The movie's just entertaining overall. Other than that kid, the kid pisses me off.
Right.
But other than that, it's very entertaining. And the idea is really good. What I want to ask you, do you think? And before I ask that, they never say where they come from.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed it. There's a quick scene where they're kind of speculating.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Bacon says that he thinks they're made by the government. They're gonna use them on the Russians.
Radioactive or something.
Yeah. Earl thinks they're from space, and Rhonda thinks that they are
prehistoric.
She definitely thinks they predate the fossil record, which means they're billions of years old. But then they never actually state exactly where they come from or why they're there. I personally, I understand you're just supposed to kind of be like, okay, whatever. But I also am left with they could have come up with a throwaway line to explain it. Like, oh, they were doing blasting over here and they released them out of the mountains or some shit like that.
I see. Well, what's your question?
Well, I was going to say, that was the first thing I wanted to say. I wanted to get your take on that. Like, does that bother you?
Oh.
That part first, yeah.
No, it doesn't. That I don't know where they're from.
Just that they kind of appeared. Because no one else knows where they're from. There's no point.
I don't know if it's all that important that you do know
they're
where they're
from.
They're
all dead now.
Yeah.
Until the sequel.
I did appreciate that they had that scene.
Speculative.
Because those are the three options. They're either radioactive, prehistoric, or aliens. And they kind of touch on that, so it's kind of up to you, the viewer, to do what we're doing right now is discuss. Like,
I guess that is nice because they're like, let's just not give it to them, but also let's provide them with the things that they might speculate on.
Right. I don't.
And it is a cult film.
I don't know if it's all that important.
Oh, it's not. It's not. Like I said, they're all dead.
Unimportant. Important. Important. Do you know what that line's from?
No.
That is from. The Alice in Wonderland TV movie from 1999 with Whoopi Goldberg as the Cheshire Cat.
Auntie's wooden leg?
Unimportant. Important. Unimportant.
So my question for this, is this movie, Tremors, the original, the way it,
the first one,
the way it is now, and if it was given like an actual full blown budget, which we'll get into a little more, do you think it would actually like work today? Like, do you think we could set up this story that's given in this, where like phones could be out, no signal, cut off from society, town of 14 people, like perfect geological or geographical isolation, as Bert says it. Like, they got the mountains to the east, they have cliffs to the west.
Got some in the reservoirs south. Over in the
desert. And a road out, one road out. Like, would that work today? Like, could, is there, I'm sure there are places like that, but still, like, would it, where someone in that town would have a cell phone that worked?
Yeah, that someone has Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
A hotspot, at least.
That asshole kid's got Wi-Fi.
You know he does.
That girl's not, that little girl's not just playing on her Tamagotchi.
How great would it be is if, like, they didn't have any form of communication? But that little kid, that little fucker, he had communication. There was like PlayStation and like chatting.
That would be different. And some game. But then too, like, you could say, like, you could change up the story. Maybe they're like, it would be stupid though. Like, maybe they're a cult. That's like,
what the fuck?
I'm just saying, I'm thinking of ways that you could do it.
You're trying to make it spooky.
I'm trying to make it spooky. They're all murderers. They're getting murdered. What?
Turns out, twist ending, they're a cult.
They're the murderers.
That's how the Graboids come to existence. They
summon them.
They summon them through a ritual from hell. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a fourth option.
Yeah. Perfection is a cultist town. I don't know if you knew that.
That's right.
It's an unsaid role of this movie.
It is a point on the Devil's Trap map from Supernatural.
But overall, what'd you think? It's been 10 years since you've seen it. Did you like it? Enjoy it? What'd you think?
Fucking loved it.
Did you? Like, and you actually thoroughly enjoy it? Anything you saw that you were like, ah, this is...
That kid.
Yeah, that kid's bad.
That kid
really
sucked.
Bad.
See, I like movies like that too much, so it's like... I like some cheese, you know.
Oh, it's fun. There's the drummer again.
Yeah, it's not too cheesy though, because like I said, they had a low budget, and you kind of get that feel. But it was done so well that it really doesn't matter. And there's a lot of like practical effects that they accomplished pretty well. I guess the only thing, sometimes when the Graboid would open its mouth, the tongues would kind of come out. I was like, eh, that's a little rough. But other than that, there's a shot, like a point of view shot for the Graboid going through the dirt, and it's just dirt coming at you. I was like, that's really cool.
I wish there was more shots of that.
Yeah, I just appreciated this movie, especially Bert. Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, their characters, great. I like want more of them. Never get any more of them together anyway. Get Fred Ward playing Earl in the second one, Tremors 2, with them shriekers.
I forget, how the shriekers in Tremors 2, how do they get their kills, or like, what do? They scream?
I can't remember. They shriek, yeah, but I can't remember if they have infrared. They might have infrared. Yeah. That's either them or the ass blasters, or maybe both. But I'm pretty sure the shriekers, they can, like, see a predator style, see your body heat. And that's how they get them, and they're on land this time. So it's like, how do we stop these things? Call Bert.
We call Murph. We get off this planet. We go to another planet.
We're never made to stay here.
Weren't we? In that film,
we're meant to leave it.
All right, yeah, this is my second time seeing it this year. I don't know if I'm proud of that or not proud of it.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We're here on the pod. We're in Halloween, spooky month, October.
Oh, this is the spookiest spooky gift.
Yeah, it was your pick this week. You're like, Tremors. Why Tremors?
I was trying to think of something different. That, like I said, all right, so we're trying to do a horror movie.
It's fall. It's fall. Leaves are falling. They're changing colors. It's getting a little chilly outside. I look at this movie. I'm like, I'm fucking warm.
Yeah.
In the Nevada desert.
I was trying to think of a movie it's a horror movie. And I was trying to think of something that might not be as commonly watched around now.
This is true.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of something like, because we did Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Dream Warriors, and like The Exorcist. And those are like, I feel like if I were to go on, and some podcast somewhere is doing it, like, but Tremors, maybe a little different, maybe yeah. not as many, especially around now, because it's not your run-of-the-mill Halloween horror film. I do think it's a horror film.
Yeah. Well, so we've established, you go into a video store. That's what
yeah, 75-25. But
you go into Family Video. They're still around.
I see them every now and again. Yeah. They're usually attached to like a Marco's Pizza,
something like that. Yeah, you're gonna find Tremors in the horror section.
I definitely think that I just think it's a good movie overall. I think it's a fun movie. Very nostalgic. Mm-hmm. Especially to that time period. Like I said, I don't know if it would work today. We'd have to rework certain things.
I bet it could be. It would work today in that
They were all cult.
No. If it would start and it would say the year is 1990.
It starts like Star Wars, yeah. But underground.
Tremors.
We get that Tremors theme. But.
Probably one of my favorite things from tonight was you're like, "Hey, I'm gonna go start this up," and I'm in the other room and I hear you yell. You're like, "Ah." It's not on Amazon Prime anymore. I'm like, I own that shit. It's still in the plastic.
It was. I opened it up and smelled it and gave it to you and
fresh
you smelled it.
Fresh chemicals. that's a rule. Get a new Blu-ray, take the plastic off, open it up, take a whiff. Mm-hmm. Yep. Take a sniff.
Yeah, overall, though, I think this is a fun movie. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. I think it's a good watch. It's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want to see it, fuck. You.
Hey. With that being said, you ready to submit this to the factory?
Let's factory this graboid.
All right. So in this part of the show, we take our movie and we submit it to the movie factory. This is where we take the film, we recast the whole entire ensemble of actors and actresses. Not the really. Usually.
Like three or four.
Yeah, usually the mains. Our director, we also change up the composer and explain our reasoning behind it.
Yes.
So without further ado, let's get into it. Who you want directing our Tremors film? A film that's generally a 75-25 split of horror and comedy.
Yes. I was trying to think on this one, and who I ultimately decided on was I wanted someone who can utilize a low budget and utilize practical effects, but with it being made today, also being able to take advantage of the tech we have nowadays.
J.J. Abram.
Nah, I'm actually going a lot smaller. His name's Fede Alvarez. He did the Evil Dead remake.
Okay.
Did you see that one?
I did. I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
That was the last time I saw it. It was good, though.
Me too. I saw it in the theater, and that was about it. But I enjoy his style. I just saw something else he recently did that I enjoyed. I just think he could tackle this movie very well and really just like I said, utilize the resources. And he's good at doing that and telling a competent story and visually his work is really well done.
I agree. I really like that's the one I know is
and
Evil
spooky.
Dead. Yeah, it's very spooky. That one's probably the scariest of the Evil Dead series. It's pretty fucking scary that
first
one.
First one, damn it.
First one's good too. But
scary one.
I basically have three. The one is a pair. They would direct
Wachowskis.
They would co-direct it now. It depends on what kind of movie we're making. So if we're doing 75-25, then I want 75 horror, 25 comedy. I want Adam Wingard doing it, or Wingard.
Okay, Wingard.
Do you know who he? Yeah. He did the VHS films, or like what his first one was back in the day, and then he did. The reason I picked him was mainly because of this movie, and it's a horror movie that I really like. Is Your Next. If you've never seen Your Next, it's a very run-of-the-mill like slasher film until it's like basically like what would happen. Like everything's so cliche in it until the main female protagonist just starts kicking everyone's ass. Yeah. And it's like really entertaining at the end because it almost becomes less scary at the end. Like at first it's like a horror movie and then all of a sudden it's not scary anymore and it's almost comical. Like she's just killing them all and beating them all up. It's very serious.
But she's like fucking people up with blenders.
Yeah, like that's her final kill. She like shoves a blender on the bad guy's head, and nice. Blends him up. So yeah, I had Adam Wingard. Because I feel like he could do the horror movie very well, but then also do it kind of comical. This is a completely out of left field one. This next pair, it's gonna throw you, I'm sure. I think they could do it. I'm not entirely sure.
Farley Brothers.
It would be It'd be more comical, the Waynes. It would be Damian Wayne as the Tremor. It would be more comical, and that's Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Okay.
Those are the director of the 21 and 22 Jump Street. They're director for some of Solo.
Yeah.
Until they got fired off of that. But if that would be, if it was more comical, from what I understand, they're really good writers. They wrote, helped write 21 and 22 Jump Street, and then they directed those films as well. And those are great comedies. They're different comedies. They do a good job of separating themselves in an era of a lot of just bland comedy. And then they were trusted enough by Lucasfilm at one point to make a Star Wars film, an entertaining one. From what I understood, it was going well. They just had disagreements, and they were a bit argumentative with their vision. You can't do that around the House of Mouse and Lucasfilm.
You'll be dead.
Oh, you get fired. They'll murder you.
You'll be erased.
Yeah.
They also made one of my favorite animated films in recent years, the Lego Movie.
Yeah. So I think they would take the nostalgia of Tremors, and they'd be able to mix it up and change it up and maybe make it a little different, but also add like that comedic level to it.
You know, I'd go with them. You said it might throw me off, but I'd go with that.
I think
duo.
They would make a fun film. Yeah. They were the first ones I thought of. Adam Wingard was like my backup. So
well, I appreciate the Adam Wingard one too, because it's like a horror movie, like low budget, like think on your feet kind of movie making, and that's what I liked about Tremors so much. So I appreciate that thought, but Phil Lord and Chris Miller, they're up on their game right now, so I'd go with them.
Okay.
Do it. Right.
I'll write them in. We got Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. All right, our composer.
I'm giving this to you. You're the one who had such a little shit fit about the music. Whoever you want.
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
I told you Daft Punk. We're doing Daft Punk.
Why?
We're going to make it real modern. These worms, these tremors, these graboids are now fully automated.
This movie takes place in Tron.
Nah, I do. I think Ennio Morricone.
Oh, really? Ennio Morricone?
Yeah. Is it Morricone? Is that how you say it?
I think so.
He did Hateful Eight. He did Good, Bad, and the Ugly. He's famous for
that. Is he composing one of our other movies?
He didn't. I mentioned him, and you almost went for it, but you didn't.
Well,
I think he's good with the Western. He has lots of – he's great. He's really great composer.
Legendary.
Yeah, like I said, Hateful Eight, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. He's good at these kind of
Old Dollars trilogy.
Slow, almost slow-paced, like building themes. And I think he would do a good job with it, especially just given the setting. I think he could give the Graboids their own theme. He could find a way to make a theme for that.
Bum, 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 bada, bada, bum,
yeah,
bum,
I mean, that's bum, a, that, honestly, the theme, you watch The Hateful Eight, what's that called, that theme, that has the name of that theme?
That one I was just
talking about? Yeah, specific one.
I can't remember. It's actually in the originally from The Thing.
Yeah, but he has these themes that he can build, like these monster themes. I feel like he could pull it off. Like he could pull off a slow build theme for the Tremor, for the Graboid. I think he would be a good
for
one.
For certain.
So, Ennio.
Morricone.
Morricone.
It's some Italian.
It's Morricone. It's like Morricone.
Morricone.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into our actors and actresses. Where do you want to start? You want to start with Rhonda, our lead gal?
Best gal.
Best gal. You want to start with her?
Yeah, sure. I was thinking
Ariana Grande.
Miranda Cosgrove. No, I was thinking Amy Adams.
Yeah. Okay.
You familiar with Amy Adams?
I'm familiar. Yeah. I mean, I remember you talking about her.
Amy Adams. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I remember you talking about her.
That's good, Dumb and Dumber.
That was good. Caught me. Yeah, I mean, her work speaks for itself. Multiple time Oscar-nominated actress. I like her style. And, I mean, Finn Carter, who played this role in Tremors, she was good. She's fine, I think. I think Amy Adams gave the steroid injection in the ass that it needs.
Dallas Howard.
Are you really?
No. We've used her already.
Oh, so what?
Did we? Yes, we used her in... Godzilla, I think. Yes, Godzilla.
Really?
We used her as Godzilla as our news reporter.
Hey, you win.
Anytime Bryce Dallas Howard's in the mix.
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
It's done.
It's all over. What if I threw at you? I don't know why. I think it was because last night I watched parts of P.S. I Love You.
Nia Jax.
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner, Elektra herself.
Haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
Haven't seen her in a while. I was watching. I was.
She's doing all right.
Watching my fiance and I were watching a P.S. I Love You, and I was like, this movie. But then at the same time, I was like, yeah, Jennifer Garner's a pretty good actress. Yes. And Gerard Butler. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, dad himself.
Hey, that movie's got it all.
Yeah. So, the girl from Friends.
Jennifer Aniston?
No. The blonde one.
Lisa Kudrow?
Yes. Lisa Kudrow. She's in it as well. Phoebe. And Kathy Bates. It's got a star-studded cast. I was watching it. I'm like, this has a lot of people in it.
Can't talk about P.S. I Love You without talking about how I cry every time.
Every time. And you're like, oh, he died very quick. Spoilers.
P.S.
What about Jennifer Gardner? She's a really good actress. She's done a lot. She just hasn't done a lot recently, I feel.
And
get her on the cheap.
I mean, is she still married to Ben Affleck?
No, they got divorced a while back. They're still friends. They still have kids.
They still got kids.
They didn't get rid of the kids. They didn't send them
she
away.
She needs that Batman money.
Hey, that Argo fuck yourself money. Manchester by the Sea money.
Yeah, wait,
did he direct it?
No.
Casey Affleck was in it. I thought he directed it. Matt Damon directed it.
Did he?
Matt Damon produced
it. Manchester by the Sea?
Yes. Matt Damon or Ben Affleck was involved in that picture.
Probably Ben Affleck produced it, maybe.
I think Ben Affleck was involved. Or not Ben Affleck.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Jennifer Garner, she's really good. But that was my pick. That was who I was going to suggest. But I think Amy Adams would do well, especially after like a movie like Arrival.
Ooh.
That she was in. I feel like she played the role. I haven't even seen that movie yet.
You see Arrival?
But
great.
But from what you've told me and everything, you seem like she plays like scientist or not even a scientist, but like a word.
I mean, even though these movies aren't so popular, like Man of Steel, where she's like Lois Lane news reporter, that's a random grab. But I if you just pay attention to her acting style,
how about
she's believable. She's believable.
What about the fighter?
I see you in Mickey's corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's just, I believe, she's very real in her performances.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm fine with that.
I'll go with,
it's already down. I didn't even write Jennifer Garner down. You're so aggressive.
Did you write her up as my wife, too?
Who you want as Earl?
Earl.
Earl, our best friend of our main character.
All right, ready for this?
Yeah.
Oscar Isaacs with a beard.
Oscar Isaacs with a beard. Yeah, okay. So Oscar Isaacs, Poe Dameron from our Star Wars, our newest two Star Wars films.
Poe Dameron.
He's in
Ex Machina.
And Inside Llewyn Davis, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he's becoming a big actor. However, we better book him soon because he said he's taking a big hiatus after Star Wars.
He said...
He's
got
said,
the Star Wars money.
He said he's just so exhausted from Star Wars that he's ready to take time off. Probably because of how toxic it is, but that's You know the secret? I think I found the secret to the secret. I wish I found the secret of the ooze. You woke up one night and you're like, my hair. I need to watch TMNT 2, Secret of the Ooze.
I do that every night. You like, Super Shredder.
You're like, my hair. Oscar Isaac's very good actor. Yeah, I thought you didn't like Oscar Isaacs, though.
I had a feeling.
I thought in Ex Machinima you didn't like him.
Ex Machina. I didn't like that movie so much. Oh, okay. Everyone else loves that movie. Donald Gleason. I don't like him so much.
In that film? Or overall?
I like him in the Star Wars movies. Yeah. Or at Hux, but everything else he's...
Because he's a bitch in this movie.
He's all right.
All right, yeah, so Oscar Isaacs, I could see that. I originally had Christian Bale for this. Yeah, I thought that was a little too hard of a pull.
I mean, he can play the comedy bits.
Yeah, but I think the next person I picked was a better one, and that was Bradley Cooper.
As
my Earl.
Earl. Okay. I was actually tossing around Bradley Cooper as Val at one point.
He'd be good.
But yeah. I ended up going old Oscar.
Our boy Val. I think Bradley Cooper, Hangover fame. He's even in this new movie.
That he directed, A Star Is
Born.
He's an Oscar-nominated actor.
Yeah.
He's the American Sniper.
Yeah, American Sniper, which he's great in. Silver Linings Playbook, which he's fucking great in. Like, he's just a great actor. He's a great actor. Rocket fucking Raccoon. Can't get better than that.
Well, I think Bradley Cooper. I think Rocket.
Rocket Raccoon. But he's just great in everything he's in. So I think he'd be able to make this role, especially if it's comedy, because he's proven he can do comedy. And the Hangover films, they're ridiculous, but at the same time, there's like kind of a... It's not like relying on like outlandish, super outlandish gags, is it? The original one. I've only ever seen the first one.
Yeah, I heard the third one's a little crazy. I heard the second one's a little not so funny.
Yeah, well, the first one, the classic one that everyone fell in love with when it first came out, he was like, it was more based on like serious situations and things like that, and it's kind of fun. So I think he could pull it, especially if we're doing these comedy aspects.
Oh, what do you want, Brad or Oscar?
Why don't we throw it to the coin? Yeah, throw it to the coin. Heads, we will go with old Oscar Isaacs, and tails, we will go with Mr. Bradley Cooper.
Caught it.
Tails, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
It's been a while since I won a coin toss.
Yes, it has.
What's it really has. I think
you ever won a coin toss. Or lost in a coin toss.
Everything.
Don't put it in your pocket or else it becomes just another coin, which it is.
Hey, it's my dad's lucky coin. What's that from?
My dad's lucky coin.
Yeah.
What is it from?
I make my own luck.
Oh, shit. That's Dark Knight.
Yeah, he like flips it, and he's like, that's my dad's lucky coin. She's like, you're going to put all this in the Fate of the Bet? And he's like, it's my dad's lucky coin. And he flips it. He's
Got my first date with you, didn't it?
Yeah, he's smooth.
Make my own luck.
That's who our Val is, right? We're writing it down.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is Val. Yeah,
that's Val. We should have Maggie Gyllenhaal play Rhonda.
That would be good, too.
All right, so our Val. Let's go with our Val. We'll say Bert for last. Okay. Val, main character of the movie, originally played by Kevin Bacon, getting that Footloose going. Mm-hmm. Who we got?
See, you threw off my get, because I was going to go Oscar Isaacs as...
And Finn.
Nah, Oscar Isaacs as Earl and Adam Driver. Kylo Ren himself, who's also showing that he's very... versatile actor. His newest film he was in, Black Klansman.
Yeah.
Very comedic role. I mean, he just shows that he can be anything.
You're no one. You're nothing. But not to me.
See, those are great pickup lines. I would like to see him pull off this like Texas cowboy kind of fella. And I just thought it would have been charming to have Adam Driver and fucking Oscar Isaacs in a movie like that.
What about Tobey Maguire?
He threw me off. Oh.
Really?
Me and my penis are listening.
So Adam Driver, okay, that does screw up your get a little bit, doesn't it? So for my Val, I had Val Kilmer.
Is that Galifianakis?
No, Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Brendan Fraser.
No, Dennis Quaid. I did not watch this movie. For my Val, I had not so younger actor. I think he's younger than Bradley Cooper for sure. But I was kind of going. The reason I pulled him for this, and I honestly don't know if he would work in this role, but he has proved me wrong time and time again. I know he's grown on you. It's because the reason I pick him is because he almost started his career more like Kevin Bacon. And like Kevin Bacon kind of started as like a heartthrobby, like dancer guy. I'm thinking Channing Tatum.
Oh, I thought you said Zac Efron.
No, not Zac Efron. Get the fuck out of here. Channing Tatum. He's worked with our directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, on 21 and 22 Jump Street.
And Lego Movie.
And Lego Movie. Who was he in that again?
Superman.
I just think Channing Tatum, he's played the heartthrob before. He's played the hero multiple times. Man was Duke.
Fuck.
Yeah, he was Duke in G.I. Joe.
Well, you know, we got to go with Channing Tatum.
You got to go with Channing Tatum. He's going to come and save you.
Yeah, well, mainly because it threw off my Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac skit.
So instead we have Channing Tatum and Bradley Cooper. Like, you're like, we can't do it because my pairing was fucked up, so let's do Channing Tatum and Bradley Cooper.
Hey, they'd go together like water and ice.
Have they ever done a movie together?
Oh, maybe that's the game.
Fuck, I don't think they have.
I don't think they have.
I'm sure somewhere, maybe. All right, yeah, we'll go with Channing Tatum and Bradley Cooper, yeah. I guess.
So this is your movie. Have I cast anybody?
Amy Adams.
Yeah. Almost like Maggie Gyllenhaal better for this role.
You want to switch it up. Maggie Gyllenhaal is our Bert. Bert's wife, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, there you go. Or maybe
Maggie Gyllenhaal's Tremor?
No, that's Jimmy Stewart. Have Maggie Gyllenhaal be Rhonda and have Amy Adams be Bert's wife.
Yeah, she is a redhead.
Yeah. Redheads.
Can we get Carrie Underwood to play his wife?
Can we just get Reba McEntire?
I mean, she hasn't aged a day.
She looks younger.
And she'll be in her colonel outfit. Yeah. And we'll get Jim Gaffigan to play Bert, and he'll be in his colonel outfit.
We wanted this to be the most American thing ever, and there it is.
Who you want as your Bert?
Oh, this is so tough. I was tossing this around for a while, and I've narrowed it down to two people. I have to go with my gut. I got to say Matthew McConaughey.
All right. He go take these guns, Murph. All right.
He'd be like, all right now, listen here, Graboid. You're just going to sit there. We're going to have a couple beers, play some bongos, and just eat a salami sandwich, just chill out.
All right. That's what the Graboid says back to him.
All right. And then the tongues come out. They're like, all right, all right, all right.
Oh, we made a better movie. No, so you're saying Matthew McConaughey is the Tremor?
Nah. I'm saying that Matthew McConaughey is Bert.
I bet I beat you already with mine.
All right.
Josh Brolin.
Whoa.
I think he could be very serious. He's fucking Thanos. Yeah. I mean, Josh Brolin.
He's a cowboy.
He's Brant.
He's Brant.
Yeah, Brant from the Goonies. He can do anything.
It's fucking Cable.
Yeah, he's Cable, Brant. I think he's almost a rare case. He's an actor that has only gotten bigger in like later in life. Like at first he was like, it's Josh Brolin, like I know him. I feel like it started around True Grit, like the remake of True Grit, where I was like, oh, that's the guy from the Goonies, and then he's just in everything now, it seems. Like, he's in a lot of shit.
Before that, like, No Country for Old Men.
He's great in that movie, too. That movie's great, too.
It's
a good comedy.
I wouldn't say he should be known for True Grit.
That's the first movie I saw other than Goonies that I could think of.
What about W?
He was good in W. He's great. He's a great actor. That's why I think he could play this role like a serious man's man, all-American. He's played an all-American. He's played W. So he could definitely pull that off.
What about Matthew McConaughey? He went to space.
He is great. I wouldn't I like before seeing Interstellar.
True Detective.
I haven't seen that, but
he's in fucking Sahara.
He sees Sahara.
What's that contact line? Get from contact
and Family Guy.
Yeah,
when it's like, man, I don't even like the movie myself. They just told me they wanted some guy with some rocking abs and some down-home enthusiasm put in this picture.
See that? There's Bert.
Yeah, that's
some
Bert.
Rock hard abs.
I don't know. I just don't know if he would fit. Do you think he would fit? Like, really?
Yeah,
in all seriousness, like, do you think Matthew McConaughey could pull off this red-blooded? Just all American.
He's from Texas, of course.
Yeah,
I see it.
You see it?
I see it.
I know he can grow a mustache. I've seen Dallas Buyers Club.
I saw Dallas Buyers Club. I'm like, there's Bert, that mustache.
Oh, we're going to flip the coin for it.
All right.
Here we go. Heads, we'll go with Josh Brolin, and tails, Matthew McConaughey. Hey.
All right.
Heads.
Oh, no.
You've lost every single one. Yeah, Josh Brolin is our Bert.
I was either McConaughey or Woody Harrelson. He was always pissed off. What the fuck was that?
No. You even, like, you were saying that line. You were trying to do a Woody Harrelson impression, and you were doing, like, a fucking underbite. I didn't know what was going on.
Because he always has a fucking underbite. Him is Tallahassee.
He's too good of an actor. That's why. Who would you like to play our Tremor?
Kevin Spacey. Ew.
Yeah, I told you it's gonna be Kevin
that
Spacey.
That didn't sound like him.
And Midge.
Yeah, that's right. Who do you want to play? You're not asking. Who's playing this?
If we were casting our Tremor in a perfect world where he could talk,
I would have Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Comes out of the ground. I'm going to grab you, dude.
Yeah. That's what I'd want.
Hulk Hogan. What about, damn it. What about, like, Jay Lethal doing Macho Man?
Whoa.
Yeah.
The Black Machismo.
Doing Macho Man. Like.
Ooh, yeah. I am the cream.
Ric Flair?
Well, I don't know.
Coming out of the ground and grabbing people?
He just spouts nonsense.
Did I just hear that punk right there?
Yeah, he's just the nature boy.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's a solid film I'm looking at.
I'd have Jonah Hill be the worm. If Channing Tatum's in this picture.
Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill. Yeah. So we have our director for our remake of Tremors. We got Phil Lord, Chris Miller. Then we got Anino, Monacuni,
Montino, Silvio,
Kenzie, Middleton. Then we got Val, our main protagonist, played by Channing Tatum. Earl, the best friend of Val, played by Bradley Cooper. We do have Rhonda, played by originally Amy Adams, but possibly miscast.
Possibly.
Tucked in. Then we have our Bert, played by Josh Brolin.
Should be Matthew McConaughey. All right.
And he lost. He lost fair and square.
He lost fair and square.
I didn't want Liam Neeson as our priest in The Exorcist. And what did we get?
Listen.
You're dying.
We're closed.
Liam Neeson is our Tremor. And when he pulls people under the ground, all you hear is Liam Neeson talking to them. Like, he pulls them under, and she's like, Tim! All you hear is, listen.
You're dying. That's what's happening.
As he's eating him. That would be good.
That's it.
That would be good. All right. That's a good film. I like what we did with that one. You got anything to say before we go, before I wrap things up here?
Hey, wrap it, tap it, and...
Don't have a game or anything?
Well, it's your turn for a game.
It's my game. Mm-hmm. Let's do what we said, as what were you saying? Kevin Bacon to, let's do Kevin Bacon to, let's do a legitimate, since Kevin Bacon was in this film, let's do a legitimate 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Let's just try to get it in shorter, though, as short as we can. Kevin Bacon to Channing Tatum.
Kevin Bacon to Channing Tatum. I see. I suck because I don't know a lot of Kevin Bacon movies.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Bacon, let's think. He's in this film. I always want to go to The Following because I watched The Following with Kevin Bacon. He's so good in The Following. Kevin Bacon is in Footloose. I see. We should have got to compose this film. We should have got Kenny Loggins. Kevin Bacon. What else is Kevin Bacon in? He's in X-Men First Class. Oh, we can get it from there. Yeah, we have to be able to get it from there. James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender,
Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Law. Jennifer Lawrence has been in something with Channing Tatum. I mean, even you could do this. This Is the End has Channing Tatum cameo, and there's like everyone in that movie.
Yeah.
Wait, can we get
Jonah Hill?
What about the Liam Neeson?
What about Liam Neeson?
Can we get Liam Neeson? Isn't Rihanna in Battleship? This Is the End?
Yes.
And then she's in Battleship with Liam Neeson. So can we get Liam Neeson to Kevin Bacon for anything? He's Rob Roy McGlacker. Zeus, for God's sakes.
Ah, shit. This is tough because I don't know Kevin Bacon stuff.
You got to know Kevin Bacon. He's in Flatliners, the original Flatliners.
Let me see.
With, I think he's in the original Flatliners with,
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah. I think it's Kevin Bacon in that.
He's in, what's it called? Isn't he in Friday the 13th, Part 3?
Yeah, he dies.
Yeah, he dies real good. He does a split and gets split.
With James McAvoy?
Yeah. Let's see here. Channing Tatum. Fuck. Are you able to get this at all?
Not really. Not off the top of my head.
Let's see.
That's a hard one.
It is.
Because, like I said, I guess he's in Apollo 13 as well.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is with a lot of people.
So maybe it'd be easier to bring it back with Channing Tatum. Like, what's Channing Tatum in then?
21 and 22. He's in, like, Johnny Depp in 21. He's in with old Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle.
Channing Tatum is in G.I. Joe with a lot of people. Like The Rock.
Can we link
got Brendan
Kevin
Fraser
Bacon to Joseph Gordon-Levitt and then he
Brendan
way.
Fraser.
That's true. Dennis Quaid. All kinds of choices.
Well, who's all in Apollo 13? You got
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Kevin Bacon. Bill Paxton.
Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise, yeah. Ed Harris? Family?
I think. Ed Harris, yeah. So if we do Tom Hanks, Channing Tatum.
Is Kevin Bacon in anything with Josh Brolin?
I don't think so.
Is Kevin Bacon in anything?
Kevin Bacon's in no movies. Psych on everyone. That's the best.
Wait, hold on.
A Few Good Men.
Okay, I got it.
You got it?
I got it.
All right.
Okay. Is your fucking Rihanna thing?
Hey.
Wait, how did we get to that?
Rihanna?
Okay, wait. No, I didn't.
This Is the End.
Nah, fuck. I didn't get to
what
it.
What were you going for?
It wouldn't go anywhere. I actually linked back to Channing Tatum.
I've done that before, yeah.
I'm like, nah.
Yeah, Channing Tatum, I mean, he's in a lot of stuff, though. I mean, like,
oh, wait. Wait a minute.
Hey, all you people. Hey, all you people.
Wait, I keep getting it, and I keep losing it. Kevin, I have it. I just keep losing it. Kevin Bacon. Were we able to link Kevin Bacon to Channing Tatum?
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing right now. No, we haven't.
Kevin Bacon to Liam Neeson. Were we able to do that?
Kevin Bacon to Liam Neeson? Mm-hmm. Not that I know of.
Because that would have finished it, because we were linking from Rihanna. From Battleship.
Daniel Craig. What about Daniel Craig or Adam Driver?
To any of them?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's also in The Kingsman, Golden Circle 2. Channing Tatum was.
Mm-hmm.
Dear John with Amanda Seyfried. Oh, Bradley Cooper. Anything with Bradley Cooper, Channing Tatum. Actually, they've been in Mad Mike. They're Magic Mike together.
Kevin Bacon. Is any of those fucking X-Men in, like, a Lego movie or something? Like, voicing it?
See, I don't know. James McAvoy. I'm trying to think of,
James McAvoy is with, in Split with Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson. Got it. Got it. Got it.
Okay.
Look at me. I got it.
Okay.
Kevin Bacon. I lost it. Wait, no, okay.
Sam Jackson.
Yes. Kevin Bacon is in X-Men First Class with James McAvoy. James McAvoy is in Glass with Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson's in Hateful Eight.
Channing Tatum's in Hateful Eight. See, I don't remember Jody. Channing Tatum is in Hateful Eight because they like say it right away in the very beginning, and it's like, oh, there's Channing Tatum all of a sudden. So, yeah. Oh, fuck, I forgot.
That's it. He shoots off his Samuel Jackson's balls.
Motherfucker shut my balls off.
All right, well, that's the end of the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the Brothers Movie Factory. We want to take this time to just state, if you liked what you listened to, go ahead and go over to Twitter. Give us a follow on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod.
Mm.
We really appreciate all the followers on there. We post when new episodes are up. We post what we're going to be watching this week and kind of keep you updated as we go through. We're also found on multiple sites, whatever you're looking at or listening at right now. We're on Audioboom, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Play. We just got on iTunes a couple weeks ago, and we are on Spotify as well. So please give us that subscription.
Check us out
and pass the word along to others. For those of you who have been listening, we want to take the time to say we really do appreciate your listens, appreciate you letting us know what you think and giving us some feedback, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Thanks for coming in and snooping around.
Hey, snoop around. Yes, Satan. So with that being said, without further ado, I'm Ben.
I'm Gus.
And that's a wrap. Brothers?
Brothers?